In these, the closing day of time, of time, a glorious hope afford, that soon, oh, wondrous truths are, oh, wondrous truths are blind, he shall come. King of kings and Lord of lords, he's coming, he's coming, soon he's coming, here is soon with joy. We welcome his return. It may be more. Declaring tonight that the coming of our Savior draweth nigh. Oh, is coming soon, is coming. Oh, is coming, is coming, I know. We welcome his return.
Justina,
the dead who Nathan was mine.
Oh, they are waiting, hallelujah.
In countless numbers all shall rise. And through the portals of earth, through the portals of the sky, he shall come to prepare. Oh, he's coming, he's coming, soon he's coming, soon and very soon we know, we welcome his return, it may be morning, I don't know.
Not in vain,
but we comfort one another by him.
Oh, by this word
is coming.
Oh, he's coming, he's coming. Oh, we show we will come, he's
I told you, but I told you. Is that just a song? The song says, I know he's coming soon. Amen. What is the witness in your own soul today? I've got to tell you the truth. My soul tells me he's coming soon. My soul these days is so... Is there something really saying to me? Be very careful in these kind of times. You know, walk close to the Lord, like the prophet says, keep short accounts. Make sure that whenever you need him, you can call him on the scene. Because we're living in that kind of an age. Saints, we do greet you in Jesus' name. Good to see Brother Vlad back. God bless you, brother. The song also says there, with joy, we welcome his returning. I think that's one real way you can assess your walk with Christ. When you hear about the second coming of Christ, when you hear about what's coming upon the earth, how do you feel? There's many people, if you had to ask them today, they'd say, I don't really want him to come now. I don't really want him to come soon because I'm not ready. And it's good to be honest with yourself. But to a genuine believer, the Bible says, to all them who love his appearing. Because you love to be in his presence. You love to be with his people. You love to spend time in his word. You love to speak with him in prayer. You love to have that communion with him. Hey, what have you got to fear? We'll see him face to face. And the Bible says we'll see him face to face. What a wonderful thing it'll be. There'll be no veil that veils us from him, this veil of flesh. We'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize. That's what the Bible says. We'll see him and we will have bodies like unto his glorious body. And you'll be able to worship then. There won't be anything to veil his face from us and us from him in that sense. But friends, to any believer, with joy, you'll welcome his return. Amen. Let's open our Bibles. Let's open Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verse 3 up to verse 11. Now, just with the things that are taking place around the world, especially with this Ebola virus and the things that are taking place, I really just went back into the message to go and see what the prophet said about the plagues once again. You know, these plagues that are in the earth. You know, I was just thinking it myself when he came to church. If we were in Sierra Leone tonight or Liberia, this church would be full. That's the truth. If there was plague, if there was Ebola and you were wondering about, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow and what about my family? You know, I don't want this thing here to get into my home. I don't want it to affect me. Friends, there'd be nobody who wouldn't be at church tonight. Every believer would be here. And I just want to show you what the prophet says about what's coming upon this earth, what's coming upon this age tonight. But first we'll look in Psalm 91 because the Lord is always gracious. He always has a divine remedy for his people before he does anything in the earth. Psalm 91 verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. That means the destroying plague. He shall deliver you from the destroying plague. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence, that's the plague, that walketh in darkness. You see, there's a certain condition that allows these plagues to breed and these things to go forth in the earth. That's when darkness comes upon the people, unbelief. And an atmosphere like that, it says, the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, right at your side. The next door neighbors will be perishing, right at your side. But it won't come near you. That's what it says. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Hallelujah. It wasn't just something that when you had a need you would come to the Lord, but you made the Lord your habitation. That's where you dwelt. You found a place to dwell in him. Every day you're dwelling with him. It's not that kind of a Christianity that just when there's a crisis in the home, like Brother Samanga was saying, you're looking for the Bible, you know, you're trying to find some way of getting access to the throne of grace. No, that's not the kind of life that you want to be living with the things that are coming upon this earth. You want to make the Most High your habitation because that's the people that he's going to deliver. Verse 10, There shall no evil befall thee. Now watch again. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. What a blessed promise. Let's also read Revelation 15, verse 1. Just to get a thought, we won't get much into tonight, but just maybe on Sunday by the grace of God. But Revelation 15, verse 1, which speaks of what John saw. And friends, we're right living in the shadows of these things. We see the birth pains of these things in the daily newspapers now. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Let's just bow our heads. We have one request. Brother Stephen in Belfast has sent me a text to ask if you'd please remember his friend Richard, who's going for an operation this week to have a tumor removed from his throat. And he said the man's not yet a believer. And he said, please, if you can ask the saints to pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the sure promises of your word. We thank you for the sure mercies, Lord, of the covenant that, Father, you've established with us. Father, it wasn't because of our merits, even as our father Abraham. But, Father, it's your predestination. Father, it's your choice that you chose us and you separated us from Babylon in this day. Father, you've drawn us unto yourself, and Father, you've entered into a covenant with us. And, Father, our hope and our confidence is in the covenant of grace that, Father, you've established with us. And, Father, we put our faith and our trust in that upon this day. And, Father, how we want to bring our petitions before thee upon this day. Father, I want to pray for this man, Richard. Lord, in your precious name, even as prayer has already gone forth from this place upon this evening, Lord, Father. Lord, you said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And, Father, as we unite our souls together for this man, Father, if it was us, Lord, facing up unto such a thing, Father, we would have so much desire for people to be praying for us. We'd so desire, Lord, for heaven to be on our side, Lord. We'd so desire for there to be a grace that we're ministering unto us as we'd enter into such a thing as that. And Father, we just want to bring this man up unto thee upon this day to pray that you'd take this situation, Lord, that you'd use it for your glory, to reveal yourself unto this man, that you'll stretch forth your hand, Father, to show, Lord, that, Father, you are the one that controls all things. Father, we curse that sickness and disease that is upon him, Lord, and we just pray, just use it to bring him unto thine self, and may your healing touch, Lord, be his inheritance and be his portion, we ask and we pray. And Father, every other petition upon this night in the hearts of your people, won't you just have mercy upon us at this time? Lord, we think of the saints in those countries of Sierra Leone and Liberia, Lord. And Father, just the breakdown of society, Lord. And Father, just seeing the sorrow and Lord, the death and the anguish, Lord. And Father, how we just want to pray and just ask for your grace. Even as you pray for the saints in Ukraine there with this the civil war, Father, this world is falling apart. Father, some of these things may seem far from us now, Lord, but Father, Lord, you said as a snare it shall come upon all them that dwell upon the earth. So Father, we're looking unto thee upon this evening, just wanting to draw nigh, minister us to that place that you desire us to be. Bless your people, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. Like I was saying, I was just reading, and it's amazing sometimes when you start looking at a certain topic in the message to see what the prophet spoke down these lines of, you know, these judgments that we see in the earth. You know, there's certain things that are just taking place now that I think even if you're just half spiritual, you feel it inside of yourself that things have never been like this. And even the politicians, you see one of the big men this week saying, you know, that the world is in a fearful state. You know the words they use. And this man in the United Nations today, this chief of rights, whatever his name was, he says, we're facing up to twin plagues in this day. He says, Ebola and ISIS. He says, these are the two plagues, these two scourges that you've got to face up to. And sometimes these people don't realize, being in the position that they are, how true the words are that they choose to use. Because we're living right in the season where we're seeing the birth pains of these plagues coming into the earth. We saw it right from AIDS when AIDS came. Remember, AIDS was called the gay plague at first. That was the first name that was given to AIDS because it burst forth amongst the homosexual people. And then it went from there and it spread throughout the earth. And people had never seen something like that. It is one of those kinds of diseases that just seems to spring up. And now we see this one with Ebola. And if anybody's been following, it's a very sad, sad story of what's taken place in West Africa there. It's not one of those things that you can read and it doesn't touch your heart to see all the orphans that are coming about and all the, you know, just the anguish and the breakdown even of families. You know, you find children getting orphaned because their parents die, and then you find their relatives refusing to have anything to do with these young children because they're scared of also getting infected by that virus. And these children are just being left stranded and so forth. Friends, it's sad to see what this world is coming to. I remember one brother once saying it. He says, when you look out in this world and you see the things that are taking place, when you see the violence and you see the immorality and the corruption and you see the sorrow and the suffering, he says, there's only one thing for it. Let the one who made these things come back. Because that's the only thing that can set these things in order once again. And the prophet says, every 2,000 years, the world falls apart. And friends, it's falling apart. It's falling apart. And if you saw, they're speaking of the economy again this week, how it's going down. You know, and I've got the quote. I took it from the newspaper. It was very powerful to me. And the leading economist yesterday, he says, this is very reminiscent of exactly what happened 7 years ago. That was his quote that he said. He says, this is exactly the same symptoms that we saw before the Great Recession came in. Friends, we're living in that kind of an hour. We don't set days and times and dates because that's not what we're supposed to do. But I do believe in these kind of times we need to hear the voice of the Spirit. And I really do believe to every believer, the Lord at these kind of times would be calling you to walk a little bit closer to Him. To lay aside foolish things, to lay aside things that are unnecessary, and to make sure that you're in the place that you're supposed to be spiritually. Because these things can go quickly, or they can prolong themselves out. But to a believer, we leave tomorrow in His hands, and we just want to make sure that day by day, we're walking in the place that He has ordained us to walk. Because then He will take care of the rest. And I think that's the only responsibility that comes upon us, is what does He expect of us today? The Bible says, as is the day, so shall thy strength be. So today, He'll give you strength for today if you're walking with Him. So the prophet, he speaks of these things in many, many places. When he speaks of what's going to come upon the earth, these plagues and these judgments. And we know how he said the plagues were, the judgments of God were already in the earth. But I've read this quote several times from the Message preparation. And he says, this is in 1953. And he says, may I stop right here just a minute and say, I believe that the people are in the preparation of the last great destruction this world will ever know. So it's a time of preparation. And there's two different preparations taking place. There's a darkness. There's an ungodliness. There's an unbelief that has struck the nations. And we see the way that people are fighting against the gospel. And we see, you know, just the things that are taking place throughout the world. But then there's another preparation taking place as well. Amen. When the Lord says, I will send you Elijah. Amen. And He will turn your hearts back Amen. To the faith of the fathers once again. And He'll restore the altar. And Elias shall surely first come and restore all things. Amen. What is He going to restore? He's not coming to restore just a teaching and doctrine. That's part of it. But He's coming to restore a people. Because there's a people that God has determined to prepare. Amen. He wants His people to be prepared for whatsoever is coming upon the earth. Amen. So the prophet says, I believe we're at the end. And why did he say that? He says, because you can speak to people. You can put a Billy Graham in every city in the United States. They'll still drink whiskey, smoke cigarettes, laugh at you, and everything else just the same. So the prophet would see the reaction of the people to the message of grace. Because before judgment comes, God always sends a message of grace. God always sends something to prepare those who desire to be prepared. Because God will never judge the innocent with the guilty, with the wicked. And Abraham knew the nature of God and interceded on that behalf and said, surely, Lord, you will not judge the righteous with the wicked. And God says, I'll never judge. If there's 10 righteous in that city, I won't destroy it. So you can just see where things are coming to in this age. The prophet says they're in the spirit of the last days. And God cannot send destruction before the people are in the spirit of destruction. God never did destroy anything. Man always destroys himself. And you know the way that this world destroys itself? It creates an atmosphere. And it gives an opportunity to the death angel to work. Because he needs an atmosphere. The prophet says God cannot work without an atmosphere. Yes, it's the atmosphere that brings forth the results. And he says it's the attitude of the people that produces the atmosphere. And it's the same in the world. So if you see people rejecting the Bible, rejecting the faith, if you see people insulting the message of the hour the way that they do, even people from the ranks of the message being overtaken by a spirit of unbelief. Friends, to me, it's a warning sign. It's a warning sign. There's a gross darkness upon the people. And that spirit of unbelief, it creates an atmosphere. And in that atmosphere, you find these plagues and these things can now start breaking forth because they need an atmosphere. They need a condition to breed within. Just as it was down in Egypt when the plague struck Egypt. First, well, for 400 years, they never had any plagues. And then when God sent for the light right into the midst of the darkness, and he sent a message to bring a people out in an exodus, and Pharaoh and his people and the leaders of the land and so forth united themselves against the God of heaven, against his word, against the revelation of himself. What came next? Plagues followed. Because when you reject light, you go into a great darkness. And when the darkness comes, we already read it. There's a pestilence that walks in darkness. There's an atmosphere. And these kind of things, they need an atmosphere to breed and to manifest themselves. Just as much as the Lord needs an atmosphere to reveal himself. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's a preparation for that. If you want to see a greater work or move of God inside of your life, it's going to take a time of preparation. It's going to take a time of yielding yourself to that spirit, the spirit of grace, submitting yourself to him, separating yourself from all unbelief, confessing your sins, putting things under the blood, and then you will see how God so graciously moves into that atmosphere that you've created because your attitude is right. But if you reject the light, reject the truth, fight against the very thing that God sends to save you, what's left but gross darkness upon the people? And friends, the devil loves darkness. And he's a cruel taskmaster. And he starts to manifest himself in that kind of an atmosphere. The prophet says, an oncoming storm. We read it before as well. He says, we see the newspapers and the oncoming storm. This message was first called Oncoming Storms of Judgment. That's what they called it, if you go and look on the computer. Then they changed it to the oncoming storm. But it was called the Oncoming Storms of Judgment. Friends, that's a serious thing. If you find a prophet, 1960, coming to preach a message called the Oncoming Storms of Judgment, I would say that you need to be careful in that generation. I'd say that you need to really, really seek grace, to realize the grace that God has given to you, to recognize the provision that God is making for you, even to send you a prophet so you can understand the day and the hour that you're living in. When these things just take people unawares. And people think, well, the economies will sort themselves out. They're never going to sort themselves out. Then people think these are just sicknesses like it was in the Dark Ages, bubonic plague and so forth. It'll pass away. It's not going to pass away. It's going to get worse and it's going to get worse and it's going to get worse. Because that's thus saith the Lord of the prophet in the message. That's what the word says. These are but the birth pains of what's coming upon this age. These seven last plagues that are going to be poured forth to manifest the fullness of the wrath of God. Friends, it's not something that you want to be a partaker of. That's not something that you'd want to play around with. But you'd like to get to Goshen while there's still time to get to Goshen, like the prophet says, while there's still an opportunity. The prophet says, when you go home tonight, do me one favor. Don't go to bed until you read Revelations, the 8th chapter. You will see the oncoming plagues and storms. Friends, the oncoming plagues and storms. Look at these hurricanes and these tempests that are blasting. That one that blasted the Philippines last year, and then the pastor from Philippines came, Brother Nestor. I said, we went and we listened to him preaching in Belfast. And he was saying about that storm when it came. They said it was the most powerful storm that ever struck land, ever since man began. That's what they believe, ever since records were started. And it so struck, and he spoke about how within days, The whole of that society broke down. He said, because the government sent in the police and all of them first to try to keep order when the storm was there. And when the storm surge came and just swallowed up communities, it was the government officials were the first ones that were washed away. And the soldiers and the police. And he says, and then the survivors, their homes were destroyed. There was no food. There was no drinking water. He says, it didn't take long. A day or two, people were looting. People were murdering each other to get food and water because there was nowhere to go. There was no one to help. And he said it himself. He says, it gave you a picture when you saw it straight away of what the tribulation period will be like. Amen. He says, that's what I saw straight away when that storm struck. How quickly things can change. He says, I believe that's how it'll be in the tribulation period. And the first thing the believers did is they sent in whatever transport they could to evacuate the woman and the children, the sisters and their children. They said, brothers can survive in there, but you don't want the woman and the children. Remember Jesus saying about Jerusalem, pray that you be not in the winter. Pray that you give not suck in that time and so forth. It says, because these be the days of vengeance that was upon Jerusalem in that day. So the prophet says, you will see the oncoming plagues and storms that shall hit the earth. See how he said, that shall hit the earth. And thunders and lightnings are going to shake the heavens. Woes are going to pass over the nation. Men will rot in their flesh. Diseases will strike them that the doctors know nothing about. And people back there would say, what's this man speaking about? Because a prophet is an eagle and he rises right up and he sees things coming before they come. The prophet says he sees the shadow far off even before it gets there. Like Jesus when he wept over Jerusalem and he says, no, the day is coming and not one stone will be left upon another. And then Jesus was crucified, passed off the scene. And it took another 40 years for the events of the nation to catch up with what the Son of Man had said in that age. And friends, it's the same as now. The prophet's been gone 50 years. 1965 will be 50 years coming up next year since the prophet went. But to anybody who studies the message, you see modern events are catching up with prophecy now. We see that word when he was raised up and he saw that dark shadow that was to come. The prophet says he comes down and he cries out to the people and he says, there's coming a shadow, there's coming a judgment. And the people look and say, but the sun is shining. What are you speaking about here? He says, because he's an eagle. And when he's raised up into that dimension of vision, that dimension, that eternal dimension, the prophet says it's a dimension of substance. It's not a dimension. You remember we spoke of it once before, that the prophet says whenever he would see a vision, it wasn't like he was seeing it on a television. When the prophet would see a vision, he would be transported to the very place where the vision was taking place. He'd be in a room and he'd be seeing a doctor and then a woman would walk in the room. And maybe this had happened years before. But in that realm of eternity where there's no yesterday, today, and tomorrow, the prophet would be raised up. And he said, it's a place of substance. He said, it's a real place. You're actually taken into that place. Just like John, when he was transported into the Lord's day. He didn't just see it as a picture. He was there. He heard a voice behind him and he turned to look. And there was one like unto the Son of Man in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. It was real. And that's how when a prophet gets in that realm of vision, like Noah when he saw the thunders and the lightnings and he saw the people drowning and the creeks and the wells breaking forth and the fountain of the great deep breaking forth and he saw the screams and the cry in the vision, 120 years before it took place. The Bible says Noah being moved by fear. Because when he came back from that place, he had been there, he had seen it. He knew it's coming. It doesn't matter what people say. I was there. I saw the people. This is coming upon the earth. And he would cry out as a preacher of righteousness because he had such a reality of what he was saying because he had been there. He had been in the Lord's day, the day of his judgment. The day when God visits upon the earth the just recompense of what people deserve. He had seen it and he came down and was the voice of thunder in his ears while he was building. He didn't mind about the critics. He didn't mind about the scoffers and the mockers and the things that people would say. There was something real that had declared itself to him. And that governed him on a daily basis. And that's what revelation does, friends. Because when a prophet breaks into that realm of substance, of vision, and he comes down, he preaches it in a message. You get in the spirit. The revelation of the message strikes you. It starts affecting you the way that it affected him. It starts becoming a reality and a substance to you. You start having a substance of things not yet seen. You start holding on to things that haven't yet appeared. And friends, that's what we see in this age. And it'll govern the way that you govern yourself. It'll show in the life that you live. That's what we said once before was the difference in the wise and the foolish virgin. The foolish virgin, they fall asleep. And then when the events, actually events are upon you, then they want to wake up and, hey, we need to get some oil. We need to pray. We need to seek the Lord. You don't want to live that kind of a life in this kind of a time, friends. But the wise virgin, even before the events have come, there's an oil that they've got that declares itself to them. And they already start making a preparation before the things get there. And when the things come, they're not taken unawares because they got the oil in the lamp. They've got the preparation, divine preparation made. They've got on the wedding garment. It's been ministered to them in the shout, the prophet says, the message. It ministers the wedding garment to them. It ministers the preparation to them. And friends, that's why I really say with all my heart, people should listen to the message of the hour. Amen. Instead of listening to all these other things, we should be feeding on the message of the hour. We should be putting on those messages and hearing that voice, crying out to your soul. And God's eagle anointing, that Elijah anointing upon the message which is sent to do what? To turn your heart. Amen. Your heart may be enticed by the things of this day, by the boys out there, by the entertainments, the computer games. You just get yourself under the influence of that voice. You just give sufficient opportunity for God through the message with that anointing of Elijah to cry out to you. It'll start turning your heart. It'll turn your heart and put you in the right direction. You'll start now having the right motive and objective and seeing things the way that things are supposed to be seen. But what we're doing, friends, we don't give enough opportunity to God's divine preparation that is given to us. We don't allow this message of grace that He sent to us. God doesn't send a message for nothing. The prophet says, a prophet is a super sign. It says a prophet is a sign of an oncoming judgment. It's always been like that. There was never a prophet in the Bible who didn't come and there wasn't a judgment that followed. Amen. That's what a prophet is. He's a sign of an oncoming judgment. So when you see a prophet to the Gentiles in this age, there was no prophets to the Gentiles. There was Paul, the great the angel to the first age, the prophet messenger. And then in our age, we have a Gentile prophet messenger. Friends, it's a sign. Gentile days numbered, with horrors encumbered, eternity soon shall unfold. That's a sign to us, to them that have ears to hear, even just the coming of the prophet, without even hearing what his message says, without even paying attention to that, it's a warning sign that God is sending something that he hasn't sent before, because the world is entering into a certain junction. The ages, the dispensation of time is moving into a certain junction, and God is sending something to make a preparation for them that want to escape those things that are coming upon the earth. And friends, we've spoken these things for several years. All of us, our brother Maxwell, he's been in the message a long time. Me, this next will be 30 years. We believe these things. Brother George isn't far behind. And friends, to me in my soul, it's more real today than it was when we first believed. Amen. A lot of it then we didn't see it taking place. But now the very things we fed upon, the very things we fellowshipped around, the very things we've warned people about, we see it coming to pass. We see it right at the door. Friends, that's the hour that we're living in. And we really, really do need to make sure that we've made the preparation. That song says, getting ready to leave in the twinkling of an eye. Making preparation for the mansion in the sky. That's what we need to be doing, friends, because this generation, there ain't nothing good left that's coming upon this generation. And that's according to the word. So the prophet says, but remember, before that took place, before what? Men will rot in their flesh. Diseases will strike them the doctors know nothing about. He says, but remember, before that takes place, there was a sealing that went forth. There's a ceiling. God will send His Spirit. He'll send the ministry of the Son of Man. He'll send the token, the life of the Lamb itself. Amen. Which is the only thing that can stand against what's coming upon the earth. There's nothing else that will do it. It's the token. The prophet says that the believers sing it. Apply the token or die. That's what it is. It's an urgent cry. Apply the token or die. And friend, to me, I just wanted to say that this evening. The prophet, we'll see it in the quote. He says, get to Goshen while there's still time. Get to Goshen while there's still time. God has given us a Goshen, but we've got to take advantage. We've got to allow the Holy Ghost to minister us into Goshen. Because that's the only place that's going to withstand what's coming upon this age. And to those believers that are there in Liberia and Sierra Leone, friends, I'm sure at this time they're checking up. I'm sure they got prayer meetings going in their homes. Because it's like it was in Egypt. You want to make sure there's blood on the door. Because when the pestilence is walking in darkness, you don't want to be taking any chances at those kind of times. And to them it's a reality, friends. Like those believers in the Philippines, I told you about it. When the storm was coming, the oncoming storm. And the pastor there, he phoned all the believers. When the roofs were being knocked off the houses. And he said, let's meet in the church. He felt constrained to do it. And then he phoned the other believers that had left. Quite a number, 15 or so of them that had gone off into some faction. And he said, brethren, let's forget our differences. Come, let's get together because of what's coming upon the earth. Amen. And then the believers gathered, but those other believers refused to come. And then the storm came and took the roof off their church while they were praying. But nothing happened to them. And that storm surge came and destroyed the whole neighborhood all around them, but never came near their dwelling. And yet those other believers were all destroyed. 15 of them died. Because God had a provision, friends. Now, I don't believe that provision is a physical place, though sometimes it may be. But it's a spiritual place. You want to make sure there's blood upon the door of your tabernacle. And if it's not there, there's still time now. While there's still grace to the Gentiles, while these things are yet birth pains, and haven't yet been poured out in their fullness. Friends, these things are warning signs. These things are judgment signs in the earth. And we see it. We see it, friends. It's all around us. The signs around, like we'll be seeing, the signs around in earth and air, or painted in the starlit sky. God's faithful witnesses declare that the coming of the Savior draweth nigh. These are witnesses, friends. But let's just seek His grace even this evening to tune our souls into the correct frequency once again. If we got ourselves a little bit out of tune, we're not clearly hearing, let's tune ourselves back in so that we hear clearly, because we need to hear clearly in these kind of times. The prophet says, remember before that went, there was a ceiling went forth. And the death angels and the plagues were commissioned by God. Don't come near any of those that have the seal in their forehead. Those plagues are commissioned. Touch not the oil and the wine, the prophet says in another place. There's a certain people that will have the oil and the wine. And those plagues and the judgment and the calamities coming upon the nations that Jesus warned about, that the prophets warned about, under the sixth seal, the judgment seal, which is cracking open even as we speak. They were commissioned. Don't you touch them that have the seal of God upon their forehead. That's how you want to be checking up, friends, your Christian walk at this kind of a time, to make sure you've been sealed in. And when you're sealed in, the world is sealed out. That's one way that you will know. When you are sealed into the body of Christ by the Holy Ghost, the world is sealed out. There's something changes and something takes place. He says in five junctions of time. You see, he's always preaching these things when he's speaking about these junctions of time. And God gives warning signs at the junctions. And you'll see the world falling apart. You see the economies will be shaking. You'll see the nations will be turning, their laws turning against the faith. And the prophet warned us, friends, if you saw the article this week, there's a big fuss in America in the one city. Because there's a certain mayoress that has become the mayor of a certain town, and she's a lesbian. And she's trying to bring in the gay rights into that town. And all the Christians united, they don't want that law to be passed in their town. And she got the FBI in that town just this week to subpoena, to send out warrants to five leading pastors in the city that they have to present their sermon notes, what they were preaching. They want to use it against them in a court of law. My. And those pastors have now got lawyers on their behalf and they're fighting, and now that woman's backing down. But can you see that it's not far from what the prophet says?
Amen.
He says, one of these days they'll stop you from preaching.
Amen.
He says, one of these days they'll come and tack a sign on the door saying closed. And you'll have to worship in other places.
Amen.
Friends, these are the birth pains. These are the foot, you know what the Jews call these things taking place? They call them the footsteps of the Messiah. They say before the Messiah comes, you'll hear his footsteps. And it'll be like birth pains. There'll be anguish in Israel, anguish among the nations. See how the world's turning against Israel. The British Parliament voting this week against Israel. Voting to accept a Palestinian state. 270 whatever for, 12 against. The prophet says there's one thing holding America together is the respect of the Jew.
Amen.
He says when they turn against the Jew, watch out. He says, it'll be the end. And the prophet says, when they side with them Arabs, that's the way he said it, 1956, when they side with them Arabs, it'll be the end of them. And look what's happened to Britain, where John Wesley came from and Whitfield, and the gospel went through to the nations, friends, right through a mighty empire that they had, and God blessed the empire as long as they respected the gospel. But you reap what you sow. Be not deceived. The Bible says God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. And now the world's starting to reap. They've been sowing to the wind, the prophet says. And they're starting to reap a whirlwind. But when this is taking place, you want to make sure you're in Goshen.
Amen.
You want to make sure that your soul is in the place that it's supposed to be. I really do believe we need to look at these things. We don't need to just bury our heads in the sand and say, oh, well, I really do believe that these things is a voice behind the sign. And God wants us to hear that voice and obey that voice. So he says in Five Junctions of Time, 1956, he says, there stood Jannes and Jambres when Moses threw down and performed a miracle of God. And Moses called for the plagues. He says, they are called plagues, but it's devils turned loose. The doctors call it plagues, but it's devils turned loose.
Amen.
Friends, and when there's devils turned loose, you want to make sure you're in Goshen. You want to make sure there's a real atonement of blood between you and those devils. You want to make sure that blood's on the door for your family as well. Because you don't want your children when there's to be out of doors, out from under the blood, when the angels of death, the death angel is in the land. And those plagues struck in Egypt. When it was Exodus time for Israel to go back into the inheritance. And these plagues, the last seven plagues, strike again when it's Exodus time once again. And we had our Exodus prophet who was given two signs like Moses.
Amen.
And then we saw Jannes and Jambres and all them rising up to impersonate. Remember the prophet told us that? He says, but who came first? It was Moses who came first. And then after that, after the impersonation, and Jannes and Jambres, the impersonation, hardened the heart of Pharaoh. That's what it did. That's what it did. And then what came next? The plague started to come into the land. But what did God do? He ministered the people under a token. He gave them a provision of grace. He gave them a secret place of the Most High where they could find a refuge when His judgments were in the earth. And here there was darkness. And there were devils set loose in the darkness. And here it was light. And God put a division between His people and the people of Egypt.
Amen.
And friends, that's the kind of time we're living in now.
Amen.
The prophet says it's coming to a time you'll either have the seal of God or the mark of the beast. There's going to be no middle of the road. You're either going to be sealed in or you're going to be sealed out.
Yep.
As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. There came a time when God closed the door and you're either sealed in or you're sealed out. And those that are out couldn't come in. And those that were in wouldn't want to go out. And then the judgments of God came forth. And Noah and them started to feel that judgment outside there. They started to feel the boat starting to rock, and there was the thunder and the lightning and the tempest and the storm. Then they started to hear the screams and cries of the people. Like the song says, and they prayed, but their prayers were too late.
Yes.
Now's the time to pray, friends.
Amen.
Now's the time to seek, to make sure that there's blood and that you're in Goshen. Because one of these days there's not going to be opportunity anymore. And friends, we say it time and time again.
Amen.
And I just pray that every single person will obey. That every single person, just like Brother Msimanga was saying, doing a checkup, checking up time, friends. It's time to really search ourselves. Check your prayer life. Check how you're feeding on the message. Check what you're fellowshipping around. Check what you're spending your time on. It's that kind of a time. The prophet says they called plagues, but it's devils let loose. It's a dangerous time, friends. If the Lord would allow us to see in that spiritual realm like the prophet saw in that spiritual realm. You know those believers there who it were there in the days of Brother Ram. One brother said it once before. I'm sure you've heard it. When Brother Ram says, I believe 1977 will see the end of all things. And they asked Brother Branham, and Brother Ram said, beyond 1977, I just saw darkness. You see, that's why he thought it was the end. And imagine God allowed us to come right into this darkness. And he birthed us right in this darkness. And right in the darkness of Egypt, there was light in Goshen. That light in their dwellings. That's an amazing thing, friend. It's amazing grace. How sweet the sound. And I really hope that you feel the same way this evening. But to me, I really just see it as the grace of God. What God has done for us, his mercy that he's bestowed upon us, we should worship him, saints. We should worship him. We should submit and yield everything into his hands. And this kind of a time because of the grace that he's had towards us. The prophet says in the message, adoption or placing, 1960. He says, you think cancer is something. The Bible says there's coming a time when men will rot right in their flesh. And the buzzards will eat off the carcasses before they even die. Imagine so many people dying. And maybe it's infectious disease. Like we see the birth pains of it now. Maybe people don't even want to go near. I saw the most pitiful video they showed on the news, on the internet the other day. When they brought these people suffering with Ebola in an ambulance. But none of the people in the hospital had that protective gear. So no one wanted to go and help those people. And they told this young boy, maybe 5, 6 years old, try to walk, come in the hospital. And he got out and he was so weak that he just fell there. And another man got out and he could walk 1, 2 steps and he fell. And they just left them laying there. Friends, it was heartbreaking to see. And that's what the Bible says. Fearful things upon the earth. And the prophet says, there'll be diseases that'll strike men. That the buzzards will even eat, the vultures will eat their flesh even before they die. Imagine that. He says it make cancer look like a toothache. He says cancer's a toothache to what's coming. But remember, that horrible thing was forbidden in that day to touch those who had the seal of God.
Amen.
Now listen how he finishes it off. He says, that's what we're striving for now. To get in and be positionally placed into the kingdom of God before these horrible plagues strike. That's what I want. I want to make sure I'm in my position, that I'm fulfilling my calling. That I'm in the line of duty, because God is responsible for you in the line of duty, friends. He's really responsible. You want to make sure, he says, that's what we're striving for now. We want to make sure that we're positionally placed, that we're in the place that he's called us to be before these plagues strike the earth. Friends, it's the grace of God. The Bible says, what does it say? The long-suffering of God, what? Leadeth unto salvation. When the people were saying, he's delaying his coming, he's delaying his coming. Paul says, do you not know that the long-suffering of God is salvation? That he's not willing that any should perish. That he holds back those winds and the storms and the pestilence and the famine and so forth. Until he sealed the servants of the living God, the 144,000. Until he sealed his bride away. Because he doesn't want to judge the righteous with the wicked. But friends, you have to hear his voice. At some stage, you have to respond. You've got to yourself go and get that blood and put it on the door. Which is the life of Christ, the life of the Lamb has to be on display in your life. It has to be a real thing inside of your life. Because no theory is going to overcome these plagues, friends. You know, Brother Msimanga was telling us that story. I don't know if he told some of the other saints about it, about, I might have mentioned it, when he showed that photo. I don't know if the brother saw the photo he showed of Brother Bulmer was there that day, of real Halloween, you know, of that man who was a wizard, and he was like a vulture, and he was trying to come back into his form, and he went past believers who were praying, and he got stuck in between. And he had like a beak and he was caught. It was a powerful testimony. But Brother Msimangi says, he says, we went to preach in that area. He says, I went with a young man from our church who was a minister. And he says, and I asked him to preach. And he says, he wasn't walking right with God. He says, and he got there in that village and he was cursing the wizards and cursing the witches and the witchcraft. He says, and that night when he went to sleep, in his dream, they came to him. And they came and they brought a black chicken. And they gave it to him in the dream. And in the dream, he was taken. And as he took it, he woke up and his arms were all swollen. And he died 2 weeks later. And Brother Msimangi said that. He says, you've got to be walking right with God. Amen. And that's the truth, friends. These are devils let loose. Amen. You want to make sure there's blood between you and them. Amen. It's not just a theory that's going to do it, friends. It's not a doctrine that overcomes the plagues of this day. The plagues of unbelief that are striking certain places in the message. People falling out of this message. And you wonder how. When so much is being fulfilled of what the prophet says. When the message is being vindicated day by day by day. There's a great falling away in certain places. The prophet says the last plague to strike the church is what? Spiritual death. Spiritual death. People dying spiritually. It says people drying up. It says the old timers, the blood is coming off the door. Maybe he said that. You want to make sure on a regular basis you put a fresh coating of blood on the door of your soul, friends, on the lintels and on the post to make sure there's the real life of Christ there. The real life of Christ, because that's the only thing that's going to stand in this kind of a time. Because that's what God has given us to overcome in this day. He says, and knoweth it not. He speaks about men and women in this day, 25 years old in menopause. And he speaks about it's the food, the hybrid food is causing this change in the body. And he says, well, if the physical is being corrupted, isn't the brain cell in the physical being? So he's saying if we're eating all this hybridized food and it's affecting our bodies, is it not affecting the brains of people as well? Then he says, now, watch the spirit following it. There will come a time in the name of the Lord that people will go completely insane. It's happening, friends. Like what I say, you take your grandmother from 70 years ago, bring her now to see what's happening in this earth. My grandfather died of 80 years old. And he used to always say, he said, Andrew, I'm so glad I'm not going to see what's coming upon this earth. He says, because this world is going insane. People used to respect the things of God. People used to have a respect for one another. Look at the things that are taking place. Look at how people dress. Lady Gaga's in Dublin tonight. Friends, they would have locked her up, put her in an insane asylum 70 years ago. And I'm not joking when I say that. They literally would have taken her and said, you're insane. Anyone who dresses with raw meat and the things that she does, you're insane to do that. To put horns and different things like she does. 70 years ago, she would have been locked away. They would have said she's a danger to society. We don't need this insanity to be affecting our children. What are they doing now? They're promoting it now. They're saying, go and watch it. The prophet says, thus saith the Lord. Before the second coming of Christ, the world will go completely insane. If you would have made your hair pink and green and different things 70 years ago, what would people have done? The prophet says if your grandmother had have walked out there with the clothes they're wearing now, they would have locked you away and said you forgot to get dressed before you came out of the house. And the prophet says if it was wrong then, it's wrong now. Amen. In the eyes of God. Amen. It doesn't matter what society says. Because society is under a gross darkness. Amen. There's an insanity. It's devils let loose. It's devils let loose amongst the people, friends. It's God in the religious world. It's God all over. No, there's this one big prophet they have in the charismatic move. His name's Rick Joyner. You might know, I knew him from the charismatic days. He's a big prophet and he has all these visions. And he just had this vision recently and I saw it on the internet. I went to read about it. And he saw ISIS coming in through the Mexican border, coming into Texas. And, you know, because there's a big thing that Obama hasn't closed the Mexican border. And there's all these masses of migrants just freely coming into America. And he says, and he saw in this vision, he saw ISIS coming in and committing atrocities in Texas and so forth. And I thought, this is interesting. And then he says, and then he went to this certain place and there was a Jewish rabbi who has a spirit of prophecy on him, came to him and said, God has given you a vision of what's to come, and God has given you the solution to it. And I thought, oh, my, that's interesting. Let me continue reading. And then he says, when I saw the spiritual plague that's coming into America, he says, the best man that I knew that we could bring to help on this was Father so-and-so, who's an exorcist in the Catholic Church in Europe. And I got up and I walked around and I said, what? What? I said, this is insanity. Yet the people can see things taking place. But they, friends, they have the signs, but they don't know the voice of the sign. Amen. They see these things, but they have no solution to them. And I worshiped the Lord and I said, Lord, I thank you for the message of the hour. I thank you for a more sure word of prophecy. Amen. That these things have come to us so that we're not taken unawares. Amen. Like to be taken like the children of the night because we're children of the day. Amen. And friends, we should really appreciate the Lord for that. And the prophet had told us that 1965, God of this evil age, he says, all the churches will come together. He says they're going to join up with Rome. And he says, and the Pentecostals are sympathizing with it. And this man's a Pentecostal man. And the prophet says, and they'll go in like hogs to the slaughter. That's the way the prophet says it. He says, but you stay out of it, you children of the evening light. He says, have nothing to do with it. That's the mark of the beast. Oh, friends, I thank God for this message. I thank God for this message. Where would we be without this message? We sing the song, where would we be if Jesus hadn't have loved us? Where would we be? Where would we be if he didn't give us this message? Friends, this would be a confusing time. We'd be being swept this way and swept that way. But God has given us something which has such a spiritual reality. Something that can stand the test. Something that can meet the challenge in this age. I think we should treasure that, friends. That should be the thing we feed upon, that we fellowship around. Because it's the grace of God to us. He says, there'll come a time in the name of the Lord that people will go completely insane. The Bible said so. They'll scream and holler. Great hideous things in their imaginary mind. Then he says, it's the television that's producing it. You know what else is producing it? It's the computer games. Amen. Minecraft and all these things and fighting zombies and all these things that you see. And getting themselves in these imaginary worlds. Where there's all these imaginary creatures. And every one of them just about are symbols of the occult. There's nothing spiritual or innocent in it. It's trolls and witches and wizards and warlocks and demons and fallen angels. And you go and have a look. One day we're in Tesco. I mentioned it once before and Gitana was shopping. So I went to where the magazines were and I said, let me go and see what's in the latest computer games. And I bought the computer game magazine and I took it home. You couldn't even mention from the pulpit what's in those games. It's filth. If it's not occult, it's filth. It's scary. And people will immerse themselves in the spirit of that imaginary world. And the prophet says it's causing them to go completely insane. He says, they'll scream and holler great hideous things in their imaginary minds. The radios and things, or television programs are producing it. They'll scream and holler and cry for mercy, but it'll be the plague. Wait until I preach on them plagues opening up. Friends, these are the plagues that are in the earth. These are the things that are bringing the world until it's ripe for judgment. To fill up the cup until he pours forth wrath without mercy. When those seven vials of judgment are poured forth into the earth. Coming to a close, he says, knoweth it not again. He says, and he said, there would be hideous sights upon the earth. You'll find it in Revelation. Locusts with hair like women. Long hair to haunt them women that cut their hair. Teeth like lions. Stingers in their tails like scorpions. They will torment men for months. And he says it's in the imaginary mind. It's an insanity. They've broken into a dimension. That dimension where Satan communes with people. And that dimension, hell has been poured forth upon the earth. And Hollywood has taken that hell and has poured it forth to this generation. And people open their computer screens and allow that hell to come in their homes. And they put on the television screens and they put their children and they allow hell to influence their children like that. What will be the end of a generation like that, friends? It's as it was in the days of Noah. That even the imagination of the thoughts of the heart were evil continually. It's not even the thoughts. It was the imagination of the thoughts. The very germ that produces the thoughts was so polluted that no good thoughts could come anymore. Amen. That's a generation without a remedy, friends. But what has God done for us? God's given us a Goshen. God's given us blood to apply on a daily basis on the door. Let's use what God has given to us, friends. Let's appreciate what God has given to us. It's the grace of God to us. He says, just wait until we get to open those plagues. Watch what takes place. Then he says, oh brother, you better get to Goshen while there's time to get to Goshen. Don't pay any attention to the outside. Don't focus like the brother was preaching on Sunday. Don't focus, friends, on the outside. Feed the inside man. Feed your faith. Exercise your faith in these kind of times. Feed your soul on good things. I'll read one more quote, then we'll read a scripture. This is in 1956, the junction of time. Again, he's preaching on the junction. He says, notice, as Noah began to warn the people and preach, many of them laughed at him and scoffed at him because his message seemed entirely out of reason. It's like the message you believe. Until now, friends, it seemed a lot of the stuff wasn't reasonable to the reasonable mind. But to us, it was a revelation. It was something we knew. This is true. I don't yet see it. I don't fully understand how it's going to unfold itself. But something declares to me, this is the truth. And it had a spiritual impact. And the spiritual impact of this message causes people to live a holy life. Causes people to love their Bible. Causes people to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You listen to the message. It puts an impetus in your soul that you want to go and pray. Amen. You want to go and seek the face of God. And friends, I've never seen something that God has put that can produce such wonderful people. Amen. That's how people, when they would come, like the people that would fight the message against Brother Eric and would say all manner of evil, and Eric would come all confused. I used to say to him, I said, Eric, it's simple. The Bible says an evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit.
Amen.
You can't. And no one can ever send in the same message. Believers, they love their Bibles. They love to testify. They are loving people. They may not agree with what you believe, but your life is a witness, friends.
Amen.
And an evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit.
Amen.
That's a good tree that brings forth good fruit. So that's the test. The prophet says, and today, how could people today, when they say we've got the best doctors in the world, we've got the best clinics we ever had, we've got all of this, that and the other, why do we need divine healing? That's what people are saying. Do you think they're saying that in Liberia? Do you think they're saying that in Sierra Leone? The prophet says, today we need divine healing worse than we ever needed it. And as the days go on and on and on, so will it be more and more needed.
Amen.
See what he was saying? As these plagues, as this unbelief, as these devils manifest themselves because the atmosphere is more conducive and the nations reject the light, reject the gospel, darkness comes in and the devils follow it. And they multiply in that atmosphere and they manifest themselves. What are plagues? Devils let loose. And the prophet says, as we go on and on and on, we're going to need divine healing more than ever. I don't think there's any person in those Ebola areas who doesn't believe in divine healing.
Amen.
Who's not seeking for divine healing at this kind of a time. The prophet says, and it'll come to pass after a while, this prophecy, unless a man is sealed with the Holy Ghost, he will lay himself open to all kinds of things. That's a stinger, friends. That unless you really sealed away with the genuine spiritual seal of Christ in your soul, you're going to be vulnerable. You're going to lay yourself open to all kinds of things. Because you're going to find out, like that minister who thought that he could preach those kind of things and not have a real life with Christ, you're going to find out that the spiritual world is just as real as the spiritual world that you believe in. And you're going to find out that it's not just my theory or my good intentions that's going to overcome these things in this day. That the only thing you're going to overcome a spirit is a spirit.
Amen.
It's a spiritual warfare. And there's got to be something in you that's real. Something in you that can prevail. Something in you that's more powerful than that which is upon this earth. And that's why God sends us a message of the hour. To minister us to Goshen. And friends, we can't do it without prayer. You can't do it without prayer meetings. You can't do it without seeking the face of God. You can't do it. You've got to spend time in prayer. You've got to spend time in the Word. You've got to spend time listening to the message of the hour. You've got to do it in this kind of a time. The prophet says, but it'll come not nigh to any that has the seal of God in their forehead. When them tremendous plagues begin to fall, we're at the junction. We're at the crossroads now. 1956. You see how he could see the things before they came. How he would cry out and say, these things are coming. Because God had taken him to that realm of substance. And he could see those things. Let's just read Psalm 91 once again. Saints, we come to a time of prayer. Just to show it's so wonderful that God always gives a provision of grace in those kind of times. You know, Psalm 91, I mentioned it once before. I went to see what the Jewish writers say, who wrote Psalm 91, because it doesn't say who wrote it. Psalm 90 was Moses, if you go and see it. It says a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And the Jews believe that if the psalm isn't named, you take the name of the person who wrote it before. And it's quite a, could be very, very true, because Psalm 91 speaks of time of pestilence. Speaks of time of sudden destruction, of judgment and so forth. But it also speaks of certain people, Joshua and Caleb and so forth, that stood standing at the end. That when all these thousands were falling and plagues were falling and serpents were coming amongst the people and the death angel came in the days of Aaron, there was a certain kind of people in that day that had found a certain secret place of the Most High. And none of those plagues and none of those judgments came near unto them. And they were standing at the end. Psalm 91. It explains to us now in a real way of what we need at this time. Every single one of us. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth shall abide. This is not just something that you're doing once in a while, that you're waiting for a Sunday to go to church to get into the presence of God. Or waiting for a Wednesday that someone may create an atmosphere that you may pray. But friends, you yourself, you know.
Amen.
The way, yourself. Because you want to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You want to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Friends, what a testimony in that kind of a time. And that's what we need. We need the same testimony that we can say, I will say of my God, He is my refuge. I'm not seeking refuge anywhere else. I'm seeking refuge in my God. He's my fortress. He's my strong tower. Surely, verse 3, surely it's sure, He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. That fowler, the one who makes the net to catch the birds. And he weaves his net and he looks for the best location so they can take the birds by surprise. And he thinks he's got you. That's the devil. Many times he weaves those webs and makes those nets and sets up his plans and he thinks he's got you. But friends, if you make the Most High your dwelling place, every single time he delivers you from the snare of the fowler. And you look back and you say, but how did I get out of that? How did I get out of that? It's nothing but the grace of God. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence, from the destroying plague. He will deliver you. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. To a believer, there's no better place to be. You want to be under his wings. You want to be under the wings of the Shekinah, under the wings of the cherubim where the Shekinah was real, where his presence is real, where the veil shuts the world out and shuts you in with him. Those are the people that are sealed in. They live that kind of a life. Verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Remember that time when they rebelled against Moses and Aaron, and the destruction came upon them right in the day. And Aaron had to run and make intercession and stood between the living and the dead. And Moses cried out and said, Aaron, go and make atonement, for there's a plague broken out amongst the people. Whenever you resist God, you resist His word, you resist His ordinances, plagues start breaking out. The devil gets an opportunity. And it's only an atonement of the blood that can stand between you and that. He says, verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. That's where you live. That's where you dwell. When you're not having to do your studies, you want to be in the Word. When you're not having to do the business of this life, you can't wait for the sweet hour of prayer. To shut yourself in the secret place in your closet to spend time in communion with Him. You've made the Most High your habitation. That's where you're living. You're living with Him on a daily basis. Verse 10. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I'm so sure there's many believers, Sierra Leone, Liberia, those countries that are reading these scriptures today.
Amen.
That are saying, this is the truth, I'm standing upon this. There shall no plague come nigh unto my dwelling. Verse 11. For He shall give His angels charge over thee. He gave the seventh angel charge over us. He gives ministering angels charge over us. He gives supernatural angels charge over us. Imagine the protection that is given to us, friend. Do we deserve this kind of grace? We don't deserve it. It's amazing grace. What God has done for us, He's given His angels charge over us. When there's the death angels in the land, the prophet says, God gives His angels charge over us. He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. That when you're driving and you have a problem with your car, God keeps you in all your ways. When the children are at school and there could be a disaster, God keeps them in all of their ways. When there's misfortune all around, plague all around, He keeps you in all of your ways. Verse 12. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. When you're about to stumble over something, they bear you up. Something that could have stumbled you and you could have fallen at that time. And the devil could have taken an opportunity. But His angels bear thee up. And friends, how many times does it happen even in the preaching of the word when He gives His earthly angels? He sends people to minister to us. And just at the time when you think, I can't take it anymore, something comes and bears you up once again. Something comes and renews your strength once again. Something comes and renews your vision once again. He shall give His angels charge over you, and they shall bear thee up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. These are the two types of enemy. There's some that come straight, sickness that'll come, enemies that'll come face to face, the lion face to face, he'll deliver you. Then there's the serpent, the adder, the one that comes in secret, that wants to ambush you. Doesn't matter what kind of enemy it is. Doesn't matter what kind of approach that he uses. He gives you victory. And look back in your life as a believer, friends. How many times has He given you victory over the adder, over the serpents of false doctrine, the serpents that come in the message, the serpents that want to do this, that, and the other, the serpents at work which want to entice you like it enticed Eve in the Garden of Eden. Have a look how many times. And you say, but my feet almost slipped. But He bears you up. He bears you up. The young lion, and He says, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. Verse 13, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Friends, what a promise. The young lion, like Samson, when the young lion roared against him and that anointing came upon him, and the lion of Judah, and he tore it apart. You've done that many times. And the devil's come upon you like a roaring lion and he thought he had you. Something comes and quickens you. It gives you victory once again over him. Why does the Lord do it? Verse 14. This is the key verse now. Because. Whenever there's a because. Because he hath set his love upon me. It doesn't say because she's perfect. It doesn't say because he's perfect. Because she doesn't make any mistakes. But because she set her love upon me. Oh, friends. That's all we got to do. Do you love his word? That means you love him. Do you love his people? It means you love him. Because he has set his love upon me. That's all we got to do in these kind of times. Let's set our love upon him. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he has known my name. Our friends, he's revealed his name in this age. We know his name. And he knows our name. It's wonderful. Verse 15. Because of that, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Ah, oh, friends, what a support to our brethren there in Liberia and Sierra Leone. I will be with him in trouble. Don't worry about the pestilence. I'll be with you in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Ah, oh, friends, let's stand. Aren't you grateful to the Lord that he's shown you his salvation time and time again? Let's sing that song. I don't know why. Jesus loved me. But friends, I'm so glad that he loves me. I'm so glad that I love him because he first loved me. And because I've set my love upon him, how many times he's delivered me. How many times he's forgiven me. How many times he's raised you up, delivered you when your foot was about to dash a stone. I think we really should be a grateful people before the Lord because of his goodness and his grace right in these hours of oncoming storms and judgment.
I don't know why
Jesus loves me. I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. He left his mighty throne in glory to bring to us redemption's story.
But he died, but then he rose again. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. I don't know why.
I don't know why Jesus loves me.
Oh, I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did.
Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me?
Oh, where would I be if he didn't care? Where would I be if he didn't sacrifice his life? Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. I don't know why.
I don't know why Jesus loves me.
Oh, I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. Where would I be?
Where would I be
if Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be if he didn't care? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did.
I don't know why Jesus loves me.
I don't know why he cares. I don't know why He sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. We left his mighty throne in glory to bring to us redemption story. Then he died, but he rose again. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did.
Let's sing that song. In these the closing days of time. What joy this glorious hope affords. Friends, it should give you joy. If the Lord's been dealing with your soul and been so faithful to you to bring you into the message, to reveal himself, to give you spiritual experiences and the things that he's done, he may not have answered everything that you desire, but friends, if you look back at what he's done, what a sure evidence and a token it is, that he's got everything under control, that everything in your life is in his hands.
In these, the closing days of time, what joy, the glorious hope before. Soon the wondrous truth sublime, thou shall reign, King of kings and Lord of lords.
He's coming soon.
He's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy.
With joy.
His returning,
it may be night
or noon, but I know he's coming soon. The signs around in the painted on the starlit sky, God's faithful witnesses declare.
Oh, they declare that the come of the Savior
draweth nigh.
Oh, he's coming,
he's coming.
Welcome his return. Oh,
it may be
night or
moon, but I know he's coming soon. The dead in Christ do need the sign. In countless numbers all shall rise.
Oh, they will rise
when through the portals of the sky.
The portals of the sky.
He shall come to prepare a paradise.
Oh, he's coming.
He's coming soon. He's coming very soon. With joy
we welcome his returning.
It may be morning,
it may be night,
but I know he's
shall meet our faithful Lord.
Oh, we'll meet our faithful Lord.
This hope we cherish not in vain.
We cherish not in vain.
But we comfort one another by His word.
Oh, by this word.
He's coming.
He's coming.
He's coming very soon.
Oh,
with joy we welcome His return. It may be morning, it may be night or noon, but I know He's coming.
He's coming soon. And very soon,
He's coming soon.
He's coming very soon.
With joy,
we welcome His
returning. It may be morning, it may be night or noon, but I know. He's coming soon.
Let's all pray, saints. Let's seek the Lord. Father, we do thank you upon this evening, Lord, that you've given unto us grace.
Father, you've given unto us grace. Lord, tonight, bring them, Lord, even unto thine house, Lord, in the next service, Lord, said it, God. Father, we are grateful, Father, for meeting with us, Lord, even in this special way, Lord, even in thy word, Lord, said it, God. Glorify your name, pardon us, Lord Savior, where we, Lord Savior, not, Lord Savior, being diligent enough, Lord, Father, to partake of this blessed and holy word, Lord Savior God. We bless your name,
Father. Amen. Let's finish with that song. Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me, close to thee, close to thee. Don't you want to walk close to Him, saints? I love walking close to Him. I don't like this world without Him. I don't like the atmosphere of this world. It's lovely when you're with Him. It's a lovely life. May He grant us that grace.
My everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me, all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee,
oh,
close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to me,
oh,
all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, walk with Thee, not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my praise shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer,
only let
me walk with Thee. Gladly will I toil and suffer,
only let me walk with Thee.
Lead me through the veil of shadows,
the veil of shadows.
Bear me home, life's fearful sin, then the gates of life eternal,
may I
enter, Lord, with Thee,
close to 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 Thee, close to me,
oh,
then the gate of life eternal.
Sense, just one announcement. Youth meeting is at 3 o'clock tomorrow instead of 1 o'clock at the church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us an opportunity once again to gather. Father, we know that the prophet said one day these will be but a distant memory to us. Father, and we'll think back, Lord, with fond memories, Lord, at the opportunities that you gave us to gather with your sons and with your daughters as your family. But Father, while we still have liberty and while it's yet called today, Father, how we desire not to forsake the assembling of one another, but how we long, Lord, to take advantage of the grace that you give unto us to come together. May you bless your people upon this night. Father, each and every home that's represented here, Lord, I pray your special blessing upon it, Lord. Father, that you'd give us traveling mercies once again as we'd go, that you'd keep us in the way. Thank you for the sure promises of you. Lord, we pray for them that are at college, them that are at work, them that haven't managed to make it, Lord. We pray your grace upon them, Lord. We pray your quickening power that you may bring us together on Sunday, Lord. That, Father, when Jesus has a table spread, Father, let the whole family of God be there, is our desire. And, Father, may you prepare and furnish the table for us as you wait upon you, Lord. Bless us, Lord. Bless Brother Max and them as they would travel their way. Bless us as we would go. Brother Elias' family as they'd go. Brother Wilmore and his family, Lord. Sister Dube, bless Brother Dube. We pray for him upon this night, Lord. Brother Virgus, his family haven't managed tonight because of work. We pray for them, Lord. Brother Francois, college, we pray for him. Each and every person, Lord. Brother Vlad as he'd go. Brother George, thank you for song worship. Thank you, Lord, for all of these things, Lord. Father, each other, brother, each other, sister, Lord. Won't you be with Sister Lily, Brother Pele, Lord. We pray for Brother Pele that you'd grant him grace, Father, Lord, with his job, that he may be with us in worship, we pray. And Father, every other need that we have, we bring it before thee upon this day. Bless our sisters as well. Bless our youth. Bless our young people. Bless our children. Lord, let the token of the real blood be upon them, Lord, we pray. And protect them in this late hour. Father, we commit ourselves to thee. Let your will be done as we depart in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you, saints. May the Lord be with you.
Walk away, Jesus, play for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer I know? Thou must save and thou alone. I my I bring simply to thy cross I cling. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer I know? His for sin could not atone. Thou my sin and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in pain, When I rise to worlds unknown and behold, beyond thy throne, Rock of ages, cleft for me, oh, let me hide myself in thee.